Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us.
MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 531.24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Welcome to the Off Menu Podcast, taking the head of conversation, the tail of the internet, pulling those apart, cracking open the shell of good times, pulling out the poop chute of bad times, and chowing down on the prawn cast.
Eating a lobster? No, that's a prawn. That's a gamble. My name is James A. Gaster. We own a dream restaurant, and we invite a guest in every single week, and we ask them their favourite ever starter, main course, dessert, side dish, and drink. Not in that order. And this week, our guest is...
Steve-O. Steve-O, of course, you will know from Jackass. The guy's a cultural icon, James.
He's got his own podcast, Steve-O's Wild Ride. He's, of course, done Wild Boys on TV as well. The Jackass movies, Jackass TV series. He's a stand-up comedian, has been a stand-up comedian for over a decade now, touring many countries.
Yes, and eagle-eared listeners of this podcast will know that, of course, I'm a massive fan of Steve-O's work, but James is absolutely obsessed with Jackass and what the Jackass guys are up to now.
Yes, it's one of my favourite things is to know what the Jackass guys are up to now. Jackass Forever was probably now one of my favourite films of all time.
Yes.
Came out last year. I've watched it a lot, including the extra one where you get all the different footage that didn't make it in the film.
I've watched that too. And I watched it on the plane on the way to my honeymoon and paused the film as the air hostess came around and there was a dick just filling the whole screen.
Yeah, which is very hard to pause that film and then not be a dick filling the screen. There's quite a lot of dicks in it.
Yes.
Look, you know.
We're buzzed that we're going to be talking to Steve-O.
This is pretty amazing. And Benito's a bit scared.
Yes.
Steve-O's coming into the office. Toaster's in the office.
Yeah.
You know, Steve-O loves animals, but he's done loads of stunts with animals in Jackass.
Yes.
So he might be about to,
Put
toast up his ass. That could happen.
Could happen.
And that's the risk we're taking today.
Yes.
It's worth
it. I'm willing to take that risk.
And if he shoves toast up his ass, we will not kick him out.
No.
But if he chooses a secret ingredient, which we have deemed to be unacceptable, then we will kick him out, as is the format of the podcast. Those are the rules.
It is.
And this week, the secret ingredients is...
A line of wasabi, which he has had before.
We saw him in one of the Jackass films snort a line of wasabi. It made him puke.
Yes.
It was pretty disgusting.
Yeah.
And I could only imagine what it felt like.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, we're hoping he doesn't want to do that again.
We're hoping he doesn't want to do it again. But, you know, we are choosing something that he might have got a taste for afterwards.
Yeah, maybe.
You know, he went away and thought that was actually great.
He certainly doesn't let things put him off, so maybe it is part of his dream to do something wild like that again.
Yeah, so, you know, fingers crossed he won't pick it, but if he does, rules are rules, and if anyone can take getting kicked out of the dream restaurant, it's Steve-O.
Steve-O has a new special, which is out now. It is the Bucket List special.
I believe it is available on his website, steveo.com, but we'll see.
We'll see.
We'll ask him all about it. We'll hear all about the making of the special that's coming out.
Yes, very excited to meet Steve-O, to hear from Steve-O. to get some stories and to hear what food he likes. Yep. This is the off-menu menu of Steve-O. Welcome, Steve-O, to the Dream Restaurant.
Yeah, dude.
Welcome, Steve-O, to the Dream Restaurant. We've been expecting you for some time.
Love it. Now, candidly,
yeah,
I was told that I had to come up with a dream meal.
Yeah.
And I got really excited.
Yeah.
And then I found out you guys aren't even going to cook it for me.
Well, cooking you nothing. People don't want to hear you eat. No. Although people have seen you do a lot worse, to be fair. Yeah. They're probably, maybe. Right.
We like to make people really hungry coming up with their dream menu, yeah, and then we just send them back out into the world starving.
I'll tell you right out of the gate that my favorite food is pickled onion monster munch.
Really?
Yeah.
So, is it really, Steve-O? Are you pandering to us? Because
if you think I'm kidding,
why are you taking your belt off?
This is happening earlier than I thought.
So, Steve-O's just pulled his trousers down.
Oh my God!
And he has the monster from the pickled onion monster munch tattooed on his leg, very vividly. Is that new?
A large one.
Is that
yeah.
a new tattoo?
Uh-huh. Okay, now we might as well peel the curtain back a little bit.
But what does that mean when you say
yeah, yeah. Please, Steve.
Because this podcast, as people are listening to it right now, mm-hmm, if all goes to plan, they'll be listening to it substantially in the future.
Yeah. Yes. Yeah. We're in July now, and we're going to hold this off until your special.
Right. Which leaves a bunch of question marks, which makes this very, very titillating. Number one, will my brand new pickled onion monster munch tattoo be a cause for a massive crippling staph infection when I jump off the Tower of London Bridge into the filthy River Thames tomorrow?
Tomorrow? Hang on, so when did you get the tattoo done?
Yesterday.
And 2 days after you get it done, you're jumping into the Thames.
It is bad. Like, it is very bad. They say don't even get it wet. They say don't even take a shower.
The Thames is pretty wet. You've had staph infections before?
No.
You never have.
Well, no, but so I'm not even really worried about it because I've spent my entire life challenging my immune system.
Yes.
And as such, building it up. Yeah. I remember, people maybe don't know this. I was born in England, mm-hmm, and I attended high school. Your forms go through the age of 16. High school goes to 18. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. But I did all 4 years of high school in London, England.
Oh.
I was actually there even before that. I was in eighth grade. Mm-hmm. Attending the American school in London, England. Mm-hmm. And this was like a highly privileged school, like almost exclusively for obnoxiously wealthy kids. Yeah. My dad was like a wildly successful corporate executive. And they had this week called Alternatives, I think. And it was just, they'd send the students on field trips. And these field trips were like all over the world, like mm-hmm, high level stuff. So I chose to go to Egypt for a week in eighth grade. When we got to Egypt, they told us, they said, do not drink the water. Or they said, even if you order like a Coca-Cola, do not let them put ice cubes in it because you'll get so sick. Mm-hmm. And we're like, wow, creepy. And then we're at this restaurant and the restaurant was literally on the Nile River, eating out on the patio, on like the bank of the Nile River. And I watched this Egyptian dude like kneeling by the river. And I watched him dunk a toothbrush in the Nile River and just sit there brushing his teeth. And I thought, well, damn, if tap water's bad, then what's the Nile? You know, it's gotta be gnarly. And then my next thought was, but I bet this guy's just used to it, you know? Like, and I bet if this guy who's brushing his teeth in the Nile went back to London where I live and drank tap water, he'd probably get sick. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like whatever you're used to.
Yeah.
So mm-hmm, I devised at that moment, in that moment, I decided that my goal to be the healthiest person would be to travel the world everywhere and just gulp down tap water, which I went on to do. We filmed Wild Boys, Jackass spin-off TV show.
Oh, Steve, just so you know, you don't have to give us any background on anything that you have done.
Nice. We filmed Wild Boys on every single continent except for Antarctica. And I'm reasonably sure that Antarctica's probably got pretty clean water anyway.
Yeah, I think
anyway.
You'd be right, yeah.
And I did. First thing I would do when we like checked into our spot, I'd put down my bags. You know, after traveling, you want to brush your teeth. So I'd be brushing my teeth. I'd think about it. And I'd gulp, 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 gulp down tap water. And I never got sick. Yeah. I drank toilet water in Peru.
Yeah.
Well, and you never got the shits? You never had anything?
I'm not going to say never. I had some diarrhea in Kenya. I think every time I've gone to Kenya, I've gotten some kind of diarrhea. Yeah. Now, we just heard a dog barking. We might hear that a little more.
Yes.
That is this terribly badly behaved dog, which I picked up in Hull.
Yeah.
Darn it. Not yesterday. The day before yesterday.
So this is like... Same day as the tattoo.
Yeah.
Same day as
the tattoo.
I
was such a big day. I was laying down on the tattoo table with the dog, laying on me. And this dog is snappy.
Yeah.
I mean, it will bite you. Like, at one point, somebody opened up the door to the tattoo parlor, and there was kind of a crowd gathered around outside because I was posting to my Instagram stories. So I tagged the tattoo parlor, and everybody, there's a crowd outside the tattoo parlor. Somebody opens up the door. And this damn dog just bolts out and just goes straight to just attacking a much smaller dog viciously.
Yeah.
I've named this dog Tazzy.
Yeah.
So it looks and acts like a Tasmanian devil. And it's not okay with kids or cats or dogs.
Yes.
And my job is to find a home for it. But if I fail... The hoarder lady in Hull will take it back.
Yeah.
she told us she had 92 animals in her house.
Oh, my God.
Like, you know, it was just down to just the one dog. I mean, I kid calling her a hoarder lady. She's actually a wonderful lady who runs an animal shelter out of her own house.
Yeah.
I love animals. It's my thing.
Yeah, no, you're a big animal. I mean, is Peru where you got your last
Wendy,
dog?
Yeah. We've gotten more dogs since okay. We picked one up in Hawaii named Lucy, and she's the greatest. But yeah, we've got more question marks. Mm-hmm. Will I get arrested for jumping off the Tower of London Bridge? It's not that high, but it's not that low.
You've not cleared it with anyone.
Oh, no, God.
You're just going to rock up and do it.
Definitely not cleared. Will the current be strong enough to take me out to sea where I might drown?
Mm.
I don't think so. A lot of people have been worried about that.
What, you will get taken out to sea?
They're like, the current is intense in the Thames.
No, yeah. you'll be fine with that.
You won't be dragged out to sea.
I jumped off it 20 years ago.
Right.
Yeah,
and what bridge was that from? Was it the same bridge?
Tower Bridge.
So same bridge.
Yeah,
so you kind of know.
At the time, that was the highest I'd ever jumped off of.
So does that mean you've got like a game plan going into this when you know how to jump off of this particular bridge?
Well, the only game plan is to bring a professional photographer.
Because otherwise,
right.
Pointless.
Oh, there's another one. And this is all. These are all question marks. How's it going to go?
Yeah.
And I believe that the universe is smiling on me, dudes. You know, every once in a while, you feel like you're just getting a little tap on the shoulder, a little wink, you know, like everything's coming together and there's just no way. It's like we call it a God shot.
Yeah.
Right? Because as part of my campaign to get killer professional photos, I was like, dude, London, you know, like I got to get a photo surfing on the roof of a big red London double-decker bus.
Yeah.
Got to do it, you know? But how do you do that? I have a buddy in Hull who I flew out to L.A. because he won this competition. He is a bus driver, double-decker bus driver in Hull.
Right.
Of course, those pussies have blue double-decker buses.
That photo's not going to mean anything to anyone around the world, right?
That's a knockoff. It's an imposter. I don't want anything to do with the blue double-decker bus. It has to be red. But it was pretty clear, my buddy, the bus driver in Hull, that it's not just as easy as, yeah, sure, hop on the roof, you know?
Yeah,
And I've been beaten up on him. Like, okay, he's like, well, I mean, he says, I suppose if you go to like the bus yard where they park the bus,
I'm like,
dude, I don't want to get a photo of a bus parked in a crowded lot of, you know, that's lame. Yeah. It's got to be on the road. Then I get to London. And I've spent the last few days trying to figure out how to get this shot.
Yeah.
And it just so happens that in front of the hotel my lady is in. She's the production designer for my special. Mm-hmm. And she couldn't come on tour. She's just working on this insane wall of hundreds of TVs from the 80s that all have to work. And it just so happens that right outside of the hotel is where the double-decker bus drivers take their breaks. Literally, you've got like at all times, there's buses that just come up, and it's not necessarily great for the photo because like there'll be like a bus, there'll be like three of them.
Yeah, mm-hmm.
It's in the road. It's very London-y, and they literally come up. They park in front of our hotel. Then the driver just gets out of the driver's seat and just goes and hangs out in the back for his like 15-minute break. Has a snack, like whatever. He's just chilling in the back. Mm-hmm. So what this bus driver doesn't know is that I'm going to have a crew like with like a 15-foot extension ladder. Mm-hmm. And we don't have the ladder yet. Again, this is a question mark, so it's a fascinating conversation.
I think the ladder's the easiest bit.
Yeah.
Right. So at least if you worry.
But we need to be respectful and not scratch the bus. So.
Yeah.
We Googled it on the way here to your studio. A London big red double-decker bus is 14 feet and 4 inches. Mm-hmm. I don't necessarily need the extension ladder to be taller than that, right? I think if we get a 15-foot extension ladder, mm-hmm. So this is how many people I need to get this done. I need 2 people to move the ladder in and out,
yeah,
and hold it steady. The ladder can't be in the photo, so they got to get it out and then bring it back.
Yeah.
I need 1 guy to fly the drone to get the killer drone shot. Uh-huh. I need another guy, professional photographer, to get the killer still image.
Yeah.
I need videographer, probably 2 of them, to get multiple angles. So it's 5 or 6, and then me.
It is amazing, like, the sort of things that you do, they're obviously presented as, like, completely crazy and you've done it on a whim. But the amount of work that actually has to go into them to make them happen.
Well, and without exception, every time I come up with an idea, it has to happen immediately.
Yeah, sure.
So, like, my whole crew is completely used to, like, oh, God, what's he come up with this time? And we're always excited about it. It's always, like, generally, like, a pretty fun idea. But I super stress out my crew because they never have like advance notice to put something. It's always like
15-foot ladder with rubber feet.
Yeah. And then that's why I brought my executive assistant with me, because like he's out there sourcing that ladder.
Yeah.
And I told him like renting it would make more sense, but it'd be pretty gangster to buy it.
Yeah, to buy the ladder.
Probably be pretty gangster to buy it. And like I'm just picturing the bus, because I travel on a tour bus all the time.
Yep.
And we have like, you know, crazy assholes climbing up on the roof of our tour bus. And every time without fail, we notice it. You can't have somebody on the roof of the bus and not feel it. We're like, oh, we've had people climb up on the roof of our bus and jump off and just break their ankle.
Sure.
One guy broke his ankle so bad. And I know what that's like, you know, I've had my whole ankle shattered and screwed together. Like it's bad, dude. But the bus driver's gonna know when I get on the roof.
Yeah.
Like, there's just not.
If they're driving it.
But it'll be too late. It's not gonna prevent us from getting the photo.
Yeah.
Sure, you'll get the photo. You know,
you've got time to get the photo.
And then the video, I would imagine, would capture the bus driver coming out of the bus a little hot.
Yeah. You'll be getting told off.
Maybe get told off a little bit. And
bus drivers take no shit, by the way.
They are really
used to people getting at them, so they will flip.
Right,
they will absolutely flip.
You know, and now we arrive at. I'm searching for the word. Is it existential? Like this dynamic, this double life that I live.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's kind of a dick thing to do. I'm going to piss off a bus driver on purpose, and at the same time, I'm this like reformed, clean and sober guy, like living a spiritual life, you know, mm-hmm. like before I can even have coffee in the morning, I have to meditate for 20 minutes, do full yoga, the whole deal. I can't lie. I got to do the right thing.
Yep.
But there are some things that are not okay for Stephen Glover that are perfectly appropriate for Steve-O.
Yeah. I also, you know.
And plus the bus driver, no matter how mad he is, there's a decent chance he's going to get a stepladder out of it.
Yeah. Like a stepladder. Right? I mean, you know, also, you know, we all are just on our own journeys trying to improve. And, you know, I think when you look at, you know, if these days you might irritate a bus driver a little bit, but you haven't even, you've gone to really great lengths not to even scratch the bus.
Right.
But, you know, back in the day, I remember my friend getting a Steve-O Live DVD of one of your tours, and one of the extras was just you on PCP for 3 days going absolutely ballistic and being the worst person in the world.
Right.
So, like, I think it's a pretty good step.
Yeah, it's
you're moving forward.
Progress in the right direction.
Yeah, yeah.
And I'll absolutely be ready to throw a hefty cash tip at the guy.
Yeah. Exactly.
And I'll promise to either pixelate or replace in Photoshop the license plate number.
Yeah.
So we'll make it into nobody ever needs to know that was this guy's bus.
Yeah, yeah.
And then we will preserve his anonymity, throw him a big tip. Maybe hook him up with an extension ladder, and life goes on off to the Tower Bridge.
Which he'll probably happily drive you to. Yeah. When he finds out that's what you're doing.
You know, the first time,
if that's his route, and he finally gets you off the roof of his bus, and then he's like, right, I just got to get on with my day, and then he drives past and sees you on top of the.
It's like a guy.
Yeah. When I first sought to jump off the Tower Bridge 20 years ago, my idea was that I would paid for one of these sightseeing tours. You know, the top of the bus is open, so they can't prevent me from it. It's easy to get in there. Mm-hmm. And I would pick one that just happens to go over the Tower Bridge. And then as it drove over the Tower Bridge, I would jump out of the open top of the Decker bus off the bridge. But when I went to go scout it out, it turned out that sidewalk's like 30 feet wide.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no way you're gonna make that. It's ridiculous. You never think about how wide a sidewalk is until you're trying to jump out of a double decker bus.
Well, I think we've all been through that.
I think visually that's even funnier though. If you were to film that and it's just you jumping off a bus and it's landed on the sidewalk.
Right,
I just said sidewalk.
Then I'm in surgery with the other jump off the bus asshole. And here's the most major question.
Sure, let's do that.
Is will I get arrested for the bus or the London Bridge? And they can't deport me because I'm British and I have a valid British passport. They can't arrest me. I can't picture either of these crimes being so serious that I would be locked up and precluded from doing any shows. So that's not really a question mark. But a staph infection with my new tattoo could really put a hamper on my ability to perform. And I have the biggest show of my life in London. It's Steve-O's bucket list special. And what's extra exciting about this conversation is that it's the very first formal promotion for this special that I've done yet. And I don't even know what the messaging is. I can tell you that I'm positive that this special will not be on Netflix or HBO or any other legitimate platform which presents comedy specials, because it is actually triple X rated.
Yeah. Well, our friends are working on it. And one of them has told me one of the things that you've got to do. And that's
well, I don't
done.
Have to do it. It's been
no,
done.
That you have decided to do.
Yeah,
I'm like, there's no way that, obviously, that's not going to be on any legit platforms.
Like, part of this project and this special, like, I actually blow a load. Not only do I ejaculate on camera, butt naked with another man strapped to my back, but I do so simultaneously as I fall out of an airplane at 15,000 feet in the air.
Yeah.
Like, that's the most ambitious, like, absurd, and it's just challenging. You try and jack off to completion in a tiny little airplane.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think I'd be too worried that, because as far as I understand it, with that,
and you filmed that already?
That's, yeah, like
that's called skyjacking, right?
That's called skyjacking.
Yeah,
yeah.
Just to be sure, my thing that I'd be most concerned about is that, as far as I understand, when you ejaculate, it's as you jump out the plane.
Yeah,
which I would be quite worried that when I do that, that means I just haven't got my wits about me and I'm going to get everything wrong.
Well, I mean, when you've got the other guy strapped to your back,
he's distracted,
you don't have to do anything.
But he's got your jizz flying up in his
face.
That's
true.
Yeah. That's what I'd be worried about.
The blowback.
He definitely caught some what do you call it? Crossfire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think if you're agreeing to do that, you're not going to be bothered by a bit of jizz in your face, right?
It wasn't just challenging logistically. I mean, it was challenging to get the coverage. Yeah. Thank God we had the camera in the right spot on the outside of the plane to really get the money shot. It's arguably the biggest success of my entire career. For how challenging it was, because consider this.
I'm sorry for laughing, Steve. Obviously, I agree with you, but it's very funny.
I found out that I was already in the airplane. That's when I found out that I needed to time the ejaculation within a very precise window of 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Like that's counterintuitive to why? Like, how's that? But come to learn that. If we fall out of this airplane at any other time, then we miss the drop zone.
Right.
There's a very distinct area that we have to land in.
Yeah.
And we're only over that. The 2 minutes is that all you got.
Yeah.
So for that, now that's precision. I'm doing the most challenging thing, and it has to be precisely and never mind finding the company that was okay with doing this under their banner.
Sure.
The individual who was actively strapped to my back.
Yeah.
And now for the biggest challenge of all, to tell a story in such a fashion that it makes a theater full of more than 1,000 people find it permissible. Not just to watch me jack off to completion, but to watch it joyfully.
Yeah. I mean.
And I did that. I pulled that off. That's a feat. When it comes to the craft of stand-up comedy and storytelling, I think that's testimony that I have for the last 13 years of persistently performing. Mm-hmm. I have developed the craft to a point of mastery where in Alabama, thousands of people are watching me jack off and they're okay with that.
Yeah. Well, I think anyone going to one of your shows, I'd be surprised if they weren't. I'd be surprised if they go to see Steve-O in 2023 and they stand up and go, oh, this is too far. I'm going home. Steve-O.
Here's my question
about skyjacking. We should ask you questions about food, but I do have questions about you jacking off and jumping out of a plane. So you know that there's a specific time you've got to jump out and that you've got to ejaculate at that point.
Yeah, there's a green light on the wind, on the thing where the green light goes on and that indicates it's okay to jump.
So for you,
the green light means it's okay to jizz.
Yeah, exactly. And the green light's only going to be on for 2 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's the window. So when I found this out, I think maybe this answers your question. I said, give me 1 minute's notice before that light comes on.
Yeah,
because and what's that for? Are you going I've got to think about. Were you thinking about a certain thing that
had a portable DVD player taped down, queued up to a particularly salacious moment in a film.
Yeah,
when Cameron Diaz walks in the mask.
Was the mask? No, something about Mary, where the guy's
he was watching the Ben Stiller thing.
Yeah, that's all.
Just being like,
that's all the guy strapped to your back was thinking about.
I bet you'll get my hair.
The reason for all of this, I've been performing live comedy now for 13 years.
Yeah.
You know, like just grinding in comedy clubs. And I started 2010.
Mm-hmm.
And over the course of these 13 years, my comedy's improved and it's become a multimedia experience. Like at first it was just me and a microphone. That was my first comedy special. My second comedy special was me and a microphone and footage of the stories I told edited in post-production to illustrate the stories in a multimedia fashion.
Mm-hmm.
But the footage was not with me on tour. Now for this third show, which is the bucket list, I filmed everything so the footage could come with me on tour. And the footage had to be shit that's not allowed on Jackass. That was my deal. I'm gonna set my sights for forbidden stunts. Mm-hmm. And the forbidden stunts were very clear. I had the idea for skyjacking for the last 20 years. Every time skydiving ever came up in conversation, I would never fail to say that my idea of skydiving. And then there's the things I did for this show, like life-threatening, flagrantly illegal. For example, I got a medical professional to administer stolen general anesthesia drugs into an IV in my vein while I was riding a bicycle through a field. And that, it, like, this medical professional in disguise, I mean, it is just so illegal.
It's what, like, was their disguise?
They were wearing a hazmat suit with the yeah. face all, like, pulled. And, yeah, you couldn't. But then we got another medical professional dressed as a clown, which was kind of appropriate. And he put a 4-inch needle into my spine and injected a drug into my spinal cavity, which rendered me paralyzed while I was in a full sprint. Yeah, and that was before my buddies conducted experiments to determine just how paralyzed I was. So that yeah. one is so nuts. Actually, after that one, I found myself paralyzed on the ground sobbing because I was just, tears of joy were flowing because it's so hard for me to raise the bar from where it's at. Yeah. And like that was sure. such a profound success that it brought me to tears.
Well, listen, we always start the dream menu with still or sparkling water. Now, you've already said that you go around the world drinking every right. sort of tap water. So would there be a certain type of tap water from a certain country that you would want to start your dream meal with? Because you, more than anyone, by the sound of things, would know what the best tap water in the world is.
How about this? I'll go for a glass of Thames.
yeah. To yeah. kick off the meal.
Yeah, a glass of Thames. But could we carbonate the Thames?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. We'll soda stream it.
Sparkling Thames. Yeah, that yeah. sounds fantastic. Yeah, yeah.
Sparkling Thames water.
Sparkling
great.
Thames water.
Poppadoms or bread? Poppadoms or bread, Steve-O? Poppadoms or bread?
I'm actually avoiding flour.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm just steering clear of it. Like, there's really nothing very nutritional sensible. About it, and that's where you get all your pudge from. And I'm at that age, man. You know?
You know that everyone's just listened to you talking about how you're doing all the, and now you're steering clear of flour.
Yeah, flour and sugar I really, really try to avoid, man. And then again, this is the double life I live.
So what would you have then instead, like, just before the meal? If we were to bring you out something, is there anything that they sometimes bring out at restaurants for olives or whatever?
If you want to do like some carrots and hummus, that sounds pretty killer. But the hummus has to be covered with Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm familiar with Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole.
Are you?
Yeah. Well, I've watched Steve-O's podcast on YouTube, as you know. I've talked about it on the podcast. Yeah. And often at the end, there are adverts for Steve-O's products, Steve-O's many products.
Yeah.
And you have no idea how many of them contain the phrase for your butthole.
Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole is the original. It wasn't really designed to be like explosively hot like this, because, you know, frankly, I like hot sauce, but I don't need it to be like so crazy and so
you
hot.
Want some flavor in there.
I want, like, it's not that hot, and I'm frankly addicted to it. And I have a condiment disorder, so I will go through an entire bottle, like,
right.
not necessarily in one sitting, but that's not unheard of.
Yeah.
And then for the people who are just clamoring for even hotter, I have Steve-O's Butthole Destroyer hot sauce.
Yeah.
And, you know, the Butthole Destroyer represents 1/3 of our sales.
Yeah.
Yeah, my dad's actively working on a campaign to sell the brand.
Really?
He says, what you've done with this brand, you know, it's like, what were the net sales in 2020 were like 700,000. Mm-hmm. And then it went out. And then, like, I forget what 2021, 2022 was well over a million.
Mm-hmm.
My dad says, if you've done this well on your own, then like somebody who's actually a distributor, who's got the channels, who's got, you know, like they could look at this and be like, wow, you know, and dad says, if I throw in a commitment for you to make appearances at promotional events to help this buyer get new accounts, you know, a limited number, as well as a commitment to keep selling the hot sauce on tour.
So are you and your dad going to go on Shark Tank, Dragon's Den?
We're not even going on Shark Tank, but we're preparing the proposal for Mark Cuban.
Right, so you are.
Not necessarily for Mark Cuban to be the buyer, but for Mark Cuban to point us to. Suffice it to say that I can reasonably expect to get a message directly to Mark Cuban, who I can reasonably expect will be amenable to reading it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And my dad is this business mastermind, and it's just so crazy that this stunt career. You know, I want to be a crazy famous asshole. You know, like that really kind of drove my father and I apart and then ultimately brought us closer together than everything. Dad's on my payroll now. Just yesterday, he said that he wants a bump in his retainer. He wants an increase in his monthly fee. And he's got me by the balls. I got to pay him.
Well, let's get into your menu proper. What would be your dream starter?
I don't think you're going to be shocked when I say pickled onion monster. That is not, as I understand it, I mean, and all my rules go out the window when it comes to pickled onion monster.
Sure.
It's even got a form of dairy in it. I think there's like some powder that's a derivative of milk. And I'm so violently opposed to the factory farming industry. Mm-hmm. And I believe that I'm just contributing to that. Like, it drives me nuts, man. I just throw my morals out the window when it comes to pickled onion monster munch because I love it that much.
Yeah.
But we've got a big problem with this product.
Sure.
The problem is, from bag to bag, the coating varies. Some bags are like exquisitely powerful with the flavor.
Yeah.
And then the next bag, and it could be the next bag in from the same box.
Which
has virtually no flavor.
Yeah.
And it's just like you're eating this styrofoam.
But are you eating these back to back? Because I reckon you might, the first bag seems really strong and then you go straight into another bag.
You've just taken out the skin of
you're immune
your
to
mouth
the flavor.
It's not. It's very, and I can confirm that it's not the case because my lady made me shake on it that I'm limited to just one bag of Monster Munch per day. One bag of pickled onion Monster Munch per day. So it's got to be the biggest bag I can possibly find.
And
with this coating problem,
the
new giant variation leans towards less flavorful.
Oh, sure. Really?
Yeah. Like they're not coating those giant Monster Munch pieces effectively.
Yeah.
So what my dream starter... And I actually propose this to... I want to get in business with Monster Munch.
Sure.
I really, really do.
You can use Monster Munch Butthole Destroyer.
Steve, it's Monster Munch for your butthole.
Monster Munch for your butthole. Not a bad idea. But
we have talked about that on the podcast actually before with someone. We talked about, I think Amy Gledhill, we talked about shoving Monster Munch up your butt.
Oh, really?
Yeah, we talked about different crisps that you could shove up your butt.
Oh, I understand that Monster Munch has, or there's pickled onion flavored just regular crisps now. I haven't found them yet.
It might be,
But I don't know if that's under the Monster Munch brand name, but in any case, I think I can safely say that of anybody with like a public profile, I am by far the most outspoken, known fanatic of pickled onion Monster Munch.
Sure.
I don't even know that there's a close second.
Well, no, we've seen the tattoo. I mean, that's it. Isn't it? Game over.
I don't think that there's even a remotely close second. Yeah. So now I'm not campaigning to be a spokesperson for pickled onion Monster Munch, but I'm sure my dad would include that in the proposal.
Yeah.
Okay. But I do feel strongly that whether this actually happens in a very real world relationship between me and the Walker's company, Walker's Crisps, the maker.
Yeah.
Whether or not this actually happens in the real world, my dream is for there to be swap out the milk ingredient.
Mm-hmm.
There's all kinds of alternatives to milk. There's no reason whatsoever to have actual milk from factory farmed dairy cows and double coated.
Yeah.
Double coated. I think anybody who's a fan of Monster Munch is going to understand what I'm talking about. From one bag to the next, it's a wildly fluctuating level of flavor.
Which must be gutting if you've said you're only going to have one bag a day, and then your bag of the day is underflavored.
And that has happened on this trip. Now, this is the first time I've ever limited myself to one bag per day. But the problem is that I have like an addictive person. I don't know how to moderate. You know, like I'm white knuckling and I'm losing my mind with just one bag a day.
Yeah.
But the problem is without these guardrails, like I would be visibly 10 pounds heavier by the time I tape the bucket list special.
On pure Monster Munch.
Yeah.
Pure Monster Munch. 100%.
So your dream starter then will be a massive bag of pickled onion Monster Munch without the milk.
Yeah.
Double coated.
Vegan double coated pickled onion monster munch.
Beautiful.
And I wonder if I'm even getting that right. I don't know how this product is produced. I don't know, like, if it's a coating. Maybe I'm like making the wrong reference. However they apply the flavoring to the baked corn, double it up, man. Yeah, double it up. And be mindful that even the double-coated bags don't fluctuate. Find some way to uniformly coat them all equally.
Yeah, well, I'll be interested to know why they're not.
Yeah,
I know. I mean,
the monsters in the factory not doing their job.
I got to imagine.
You've got monsters involved.
And here's another wonderful question mark. By October, have I figured out this proposition? Have I made the proposal? Has it been accepted or rejected?
Yeah.
You know, if they reject me, snub me, or ignore me, I'll be kicking myself for how much shine I've given them on your podcast.
We'll get an email from you. Cut all the monster munch stuff. They're dead to me.
Because no matter how much they offend me, I'm still helplessly addicted to their product. They could do whatever they want. They could wrong me. They could harm me. They could assassinate my character and destroy my livelihood, and I cannot stop eating pickled onion monster.
Where do you stand on the other flavors of Monster Munch?
I don't care. Indifferent. I know that Flaming Hot is right up there in popularity with pickled onion, but
there was, I don't know if it's roast beef. Roast beef is the one that makes your hands stink. You absolutely stink forever. Yeah. You can have as many showers as you want. You still smell of beef, pickled onion monster. Beef pickled onion monster.
I'm very, very singular in my devotion to pickled onion. Yeah. Now, we got to move off this topic.
Because now you can see your fingers going.
Well, now I'm just more concerned with how much free publicity I've been. I haven't even proposed to them. I don't even know if I'm going to have a business arrangement with them.
I think when we watch, when the special comes out and we get to watch it and we watch Skyjacking, and you're there, and we look at the laptop you're watching, and actually, it's just a pickled onion Monster Munch advert that you're jacking it to. Yeah. And there was never a porno.
I hope you washed your hands before you did Skyjacking.
You know what? I don't believe in washing my hands, man.
After you've eaten pickled onion Monster Munch, you're not going to jack off after that.
Same rule applies as with tap water.
Immunity.
You know what? Your immune system is a muscle, and it needs to be exercised. Yeah. Straight up, if you live in an incubator and shield yourself from germs, you're just a pussy that gets sick all the time. You know, I have missing teeth, so
I've got a
partial denture.
Yep.
And my guy who sells merch, he collects the cash and he's like really scared of cash. Uh-huh. And so I just threw my denture in a bag of cash like the other night. And then pulled it out and put it back in my mouth, and he's like, So I don't wash my hands. Uh-huh. I don't believe in it.
I shook your hand when you arrived here, you dirty bastard. You filthy motherfucker.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss. plushcare.com/weightloss.
Let's get on to your dream main course.
Okay, Steve. Dream main course.
Pickled onion monster munch.
respect.
And people are like going to be expecting me to say something vegan.
Yeah.
Like I've been in the past, like a particularly outspoken, and I'll even admit shamefully, like leaning militant on vegan. Like I do just tremendously care about animals and I'm violently opposed to factory farming and all of that, and been very outspoken about that. And I was loudly vegan for 4 years and then reintroduced seafood into my diet. Then I went back to vegan. Then I reintroduced, I've been kind of bouncing back and forth, and where it's left off now, I'm pescatarian. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have fish. On this. I believe that eating fish is good for me. I think a lot of these fake vegan meats, highly processed soy and wheat, which your body just simply does not recognize as food. Mm-hmm. I mean, like I went for one of these colonic hydrotherapy where they stick a tube up your butt and flush it out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, were you doing this as you jumped out of a plane?
No, just getting on the train. I just did this on my own time. It's crazy because you're laid down and with your legs up on these things, the tube goes up your butt, and there's like
who did it on Jackass dressed as Santa or something?
That was Knoxville.
Knoxville did
for the Christmas episode of the first season.
A member of the Plosive team, who are the people who make this podcast, has a question about Knoxville, if I may ask it.
Go for it.
How is he still as handsome as he is after all the stuff that he's done that could have smashed his face up?
He's been very protective of his face. Yeah. He's, with the moisturizer, with... He's shockingly handsome. He's the captain.
So I guess all of you have got, what might appear to be a death wish, just do whatever, but you've all got these little things where you will take care of yourself. You're avoiding flour, Knoxville's moisturising. There's like different, all got different ways that you are actually practising self-care amongst all of this.
I'm full-blown, like, recovery guy. Yeah. So, like, it's not just avoid flour, but, like, clean and serve. Like, I'm like... With respect to 12-step fellowships, like I try not to go too into them, but I'm balls deep in many. It's like identifying as a sex addict, as a drug addict, as an alcoholic, as a compulsive overeater.
How does the sex addict program react to you using the term balls deep?
That's a good question. And how does it deal with skyjacking? Like,
I don't know if they've ever had to factor that into their rules before. Just segue in from that into what fish you want.
I believe pretty strongly as it relates to eating the seafood that death isn't something to be like feared. I mean, maybe dying if it's extremely painful. Like, of course, nobody wants pain and suffering. But once we're dead, I believe strongly that everything's okay. I think that it's really, really silly to grieve for the person who's died. Uh-huh. You know, whenever somebody loses a loved one, I emphatically implore them to grieve selfishly because they miss that person.
Yeah.
Just don't feel sorry for the person because they're okay now. Let's agree on that. They're okay now. Mm-hmm. Some people would say they're just in a void of nothingness. Other people would say they're in the warm embrace of our creator. Mm-hmm. I'm open to the warm embrace part. I watch all these near-death experience videos
I know you do.
Yeah.
I've heard you talk about it.
Right.
I've heard you talk about the near-death experience videos you watch.
So we're all one thing. Yeah, yeah. We're all one thing, and we go back to our source. Everything's okay. Mm-hmm. So I don't think that... death or being dead.
You're about
dead.
To choose a human being as your main course. You're about to eat a dead person.
No, I just think as when it comes to fish, a fish that has lived its life swimming in the ocean in its natural habitat, has had the life it was intended to have.
Yeah.
And then, sure, it gets caught, and that's a bummer, but it's a pretty quick bummer. Like, it had a great life, it had a quick death, and then... Now, when I eat it, my body recognizes it as food.
Okay.
Like, I'm pretty comfortable with that.
Okay.
I'm pretty comfortable with that, with one caveat, that the seas are just wildly overfished and the environment is just not, it's not good for the world necessarily to eat fish. Like the whole ecosystem of the planet is just so challenged and thrown off kilter by overfishing and all the extinctions and everything else. But we're getting kind of into the weeds when I get that far, and I just got a vasectomy so that I don't have it on my conscience to bring a human into this world that is so fast going down the drain.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
So I eat fish, and we're going to go with sea bass. Yeah, and I think that's particularly incendiary, inflammatory. Like offensive, because I think that on some level sea bass is endangered. I think that's why it costs so damn much.
Okay. Yeah,
I don't know.
But you'd like a sea bass. You'd like some sea bass as your main.
It's the shortest gap we've had between vasectomy and sea bass on the podcast before.
Also, I guess.
By the way, the bucket list features a bit called the vasectomy Olympics.
No, this is what I was about to ask, because I was going to say, if you're Steve-O and you're getting a vasectomy, surely you don't just get a vasectomy and you leave it. Surely there's some footage to be had there.
Yeah, and it is in all of its glory in the bucket list special. I mean, fantastically so. And it is the original culprit for, I'm not gonna say legions, but I've been at this tour for a few years, and we absolutely average at least one person in the audience completely passing out after the vasectomy Olympics. We also have people passing out after the spinal tap, and there's two other videos that have been culprits too, but less frequently.
Right.
So yeah, we got four videos that make people literally pass out, and like this is a phenomenon that I never anticipated. I've never heard about people passing out during Jackass movies.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, as soon as I went out on this tour.
Some bits that I fast forward in Jackass movies.
And what's so crazy, on every performance, you know, before the vasectomy Olympics, I say, as a rule, before I play this video for you, this masterpiece, before I play you this masterpiece, I have to say something for legal reasons, which is that we are all here at our own risk.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I say before my comedy gigs.
Nice.
Let people know.
Now, there are exceptions. People don't pass out every show, but we've literally had as many as 11 people pass out in one show. Mm-hmm. So the average is absolutely no less than one person per show.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's that rare show, you know, and who knows, man? Maybe London's tough dudes.
I don't know.
I'd pass out, I reckon.
Yeah.
And I was shocked that the vasectomy Olympics went on to make people pass out because it's like a minimally invasive procedure.
Yeah.
Like you don't have to be totally awake. Like when I watched back the footage in the edit, my main concern was that it was just plain underwhelming.
Yeah.
You know, it was funny. There was great banter with the doctor and then the bareback horseback riding immediately afterwards and like all the other challenges which immediately preceded.
I don't think that sounds underwhelming, Stephen.
It's not. Plus the payoff shot at the end, the 2 days later shot of the plum that my ball bag turned into.
Do you find yourself when you've done something like that? So say you've done the vasectomy Olympics and then you know that a few days later you want to get the shot of your balls. If during those days you're in the shower and you're because you're going to be inspecting yourself every day.
Yeah.
If they're just going back to normal pretty quickly, disappointed?
It would have been heartbreaking.
Yeah. Your dream side dish.
I'm going to go ahead and have a, what do you call it? The pureed mashed potatoes kind of a deal.
Yeah.
With a lot of Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole. I don't know if I've emphasized enough, but I get high on my own supply.
That shit is
good.
You do.
And it's available on Amazon too, Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole.
Oh, it is.
And it's available in the UK, on Amazon in the UK.
So you want loads of Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole in the potato?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I want loads of your listeners to sample Steve-O's hot sauce. Yes. It's that good.
Oh, that's coming across.
Yeah, it's that good. Yeah.
You've not buried that message.
Head on over to Amazon. And if you're really brave, try the Butthole Destroyer.
Sure.
Because you know how the ingredients list starts with what comprises the largest quantity. The top three ingredients of Steve-O's Butthole Destroyer are the three hottest peppers on earth. Scorpion, Ghost, and Carolina Reaper.
Yeah.
One of those is Naja Jaloki or whatever. I don't know.
That's the ghost pepper, I think.
That ghost,
So you've been on Hot Ones.
Yeah, twice. And then they've got like side ones, like Truth or Dab.
Oh, yeah, you've done those things. Everyone who's seen Hot Ones has seen people do Da Bomb and people go nuts for it. If you can compare the Butthole Destroyer to Da Bomb.
Butthole Destroyer is way gnarlier.
Yeah.
The reason for that is that they've got a, I probably shouldn't even say this because I love them. Their whole organization, they've just been very good to me. But Butthole Destroyer, they wouldn't want to subject the caliber of talent that they have on their show to that level of destruction to their butthole.
Yeah. When you went on it as well, you put hot sauce in your eye.
I did. Yeah. Not the destroyer. I would never pour the destroyer in my eye. But
that's for butthole strictly.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the destroyer.
Yeah, I did put it in my butthole.
Steve-O's eyeball destroyer is coming out.
Yeah. Well, yeah. And I think that might be why I'm wearing glasses because I've squeezed so much lemon juice and hot sauce in my eyes over the years. Mm. But yeah, the OG basic Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole, I've poured it into my eyes. I did on Gordon Ramsay's show. Did that on Hot Ones. I think I would like to consider myself retired from pouring hot sauce in my eyeballs. Mm.
You did it enough times now.
There comes a time in every man's life where they have to retire from pouring hot sauce in their eyes.
Right.
Yeah,
and you know
made
what?
That point.
There's zero doubt in my mind. Mm-hmm. I would put a substantial bet on this that I have poured more hot sauce in my eyes than any man who's ever lived, you know? And yet, year after year, I am snubbed by Guinness. Snubbed. Do you know how many undeniable world records I've been snubbed for by Guinness?
Yeah, yeah.
Skyjacking's got to be a world record, hasn't it?
One would think.
Yeah.
But you've got to be able to, like, really qualify. It's got to be demonstrably provable that it's a world record.
Yeah, sure.
So the one I'm most confident in, I would submit that nobody has vomited on screen in both television and film. And I'd like, come on.
Oh, no, Lance Bangs, man. Lance Bangs is always puking.
Yeah, I mean, he is. The validity of those vomits, I think, might come into question. Sorry, Lance, I don't know. I think there's a little bit of gagging going on, not necessarily full blown puking. I'm full blown puking.
Yeah.
Nobody can touch me, man, and that's so demonstrable. Like, come on, Guinness, come on. Like, what's your beef? What did I ever do to you? What did I ever do? And you know what? Like, one of the bucket list bits is a demonstrable, undeniable world record. I won't even say what it is. Yeah. I won't even say what it is.
That's more
enticing. I'll have you know that I've yet to hear from Guinness.
Yeah.
And you've contacted Guinness.
No. That's true. That might be a shortcoming.
Your dream drink.
I am a humongous fan of Bloody Mary mix with no alcohol.
Mm-hmm. Virgin Mary.
Right. Whenever I order one, because my sobriety is so paramount to me, I say I would like a virgin Bloody Mary. Mm-hmm. No alcohol.
Yeah.
Just the mix.
Like go real double Dutch on that and just
triple redundancy. Double redundancy.
Yeah, you don't want any confusion there. Is there a place where you've got like the best one where you're like, oh, they nailed that Virgin Mary, like that was the best one?
I mean, you get enough Steve-O's hot sauce for your bottle.
Steve-O, we've had Dan Aykroyd on the podcast in the past.
What a great
and,
guy.
And at the moment, you're doing what was previously known as the Dan Aykroyd Crystal Sculling with the hot sauce.
Yeah.
You know? He was promoting his product.
Well,
heavily.
His dream meal is a wonderful dream meal like yours is, but Crystal Skull went with every course.
That's good.
Crystal Skull vodka, which is the thing that we're removing from your Bloody Mary.
And can you believe how much of this valuable promotion was diverted to the Walker's company?
We arrive at your dream dessert, Steve-O.
Now, I have been doing dessert, and this kills me because I am a gnarly sugar addict, man.
Yeah,
like, I'm
yeah.
a gnarly sweet tooth, and like, I remember making it from whenever that first Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie came out. It was like maybe 2019, maybe 2018, I don't know. Mm-hmm. During that Joaquin Phoenix Joker movie, I got a tub, like a bucket of caramel popcorn.
Was this in America?
In America, yeah.
So like the
It was a plastic one.
Yeah.
Which is prepackaged. It wasn't like where they scoop it out of the popcorn machine, but it was, you know, it's not wrong to call it a bucket. It is a bucket of caramel popcorn, and there's this licorice product in America known as Red Vines.
Yes.
And I got a jumbo pack. And I sat there in that Joker movie with just taking a handful of the caramel popcorn, putting it in my mouth, and as I chewed it, inserting a bundle of Red Vines and kind of chewing it all up together in concert.
Yeah.
I found that to be delicious. I mean, it was, I ate the entire tub and the whole jumbo pack of Red Vines.
Yeah.
And I don't even want to know how many grams of sugar that was.
Sure.
But that represented for me at the time a rock bottom. And the next day I reached out to somebody who I knew in the food program and said, I need help. And that person became a mentor to me. And for subsequent weeks, maybe months, every meal that I ate, I photographed and texted a photo.
Mm-hmm.
So that was my accountability.
Yes.
In the food program. And that sort of food sobriety lasted for about, I want to say 10 months. I made it almost a year. And then it was during the pandemic. Tony Hawk is a partial owner in a restaurant down in San Diego.
Mm-hmm.
And my lady and I were at Tony Hawk's restaurant. I was on my best behavior. And then you know, at the end of our meal, this waiter comes by. It says, hey, somebody got an order wrong or something. We've got this extra dessert. It was this this chocolate lava cake.
Mm.
So and they just put it on the table. And I was like, man, like, screw it. You know, I'm with my girl, you know, and I had one bite of that thing and I ate the whole thing. And then it was just like the cage door opened that little crack and the whole gorilla came out, man.
Yeah.
And that's how I am. Like I went into full blown relapse mode, and when I do that, it's very hard for me to get back on the rails. Of course, I'm already planning for the second I'm finished filming my bucket list special. I will eat 24 bags of pickled onion monster munch in a row.
Of course,
you got to celebrate.
yeah,
and that might send me off the rails. I don't know, but where I sit today, I will say that I'm gonna just not have dessert. But then again, we've got a question mark. Who knows, come October, where I'm going to be at with my food program. I might be in relapse mode. So hypothetically, if I am in relapse mode, I want every single goddamn dessert on your menu.
Sure. Now, well, here's the thing.
Hit me with some, because I'll tell you.
Well,
you know,
it is any dessert in the world. It's literally what we've got.
All right, I'll tell you this. I went into... I forget what it was called, but it was, I was in maybe Manchester. And is it Costa? That's the coffee place?
Yeah.
And goddamn, I went into Costa to get a flat white. And I looked at their display of desserts, and every damn one of them, I was just like, man, if I didn't care, like every one of them, it just like I was shocked at what a unbelievably appealing selection of cakes and pies and just like, dude, I wanted it all. Anything with salty caramel is going to be a priority.
Yeah. Salted caramel's great.
I mean, dude, I'm pretty bad with sugar. I really don't care.
Yeah. Well, I think either no dessert or all the desserts in the world is a good answer.
Yeah.
What's great about this, Steve-O, is normally when guests come in and pick no dessert or pick something not sweet for dessert, James gets really angry because he's a sugar fiend. He gets angry with the guest. But because you connected it to your recovery journey and addiction, he can't say anything.
I have to sit here and go, well, I have to let him have no dessert. Which normally I'm going through the roof at this point.
Yeah. I mean, we could, like, what's the one that's like, is it creme brulee where you break through the caramel, like, heart, and then you just get into the liquid caramel?
Yeah.
Well, so it's not, you think it's a creme brulee, you crack the hard caramel, and it's just a bowl of caramel.
That sounds good.
That sounds great.
Yeah.
Well, look, I'll read your menu back to you now. See how you feel about it. Great. You would like a glass of sparkling Thames water. Then you want carrots and hummus with Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole in the hummus. Starter, pickled onion monster munch, vegan, double coated. Main course, sea bass. Side dish, pureed mashed potatoes with Steve-O's hot sauce for your butthole. Drink, a Virgin Mary, no alcohol. Just the mix.
Yeah. And do you want some Steve-O's hot sauce?
I do want a little bit of Steve-O's hot sauce.
Hot sauce for your butthole. Dessert, you would like either no dessert or every dessert in the world.
Correct.
That's fantastic, Steve-O. But that's a good that's a good menu.
I love that menu.
And my my little satanic dog was pretty well behaved. Anybody in the are you guys interested in a dog that cannot be around other dogs, cats, or children?
Well, me and James both have cats, and Benito's got a dog, so I think probably not.
Right.
Thanks for the offer, though.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Thanks so much for coming to the Dream Restaurant, Steve-O.
Thank you, Steve-O.
That's a lot of fun, man. Thank you.
Well, there we are.
Whoa.
We got Aykroyded.
We got Aykroyded big time.
But actually, to be fair to Steve-O, he had a conversation with us. He didn't just do his menu.
Yeah. He did talk to us and he heard the words that we said.
Yes.
And responded to those.
I love that. I was happy to just sit back and let Steve-O talk. That was fantastic.
That's all you want.
Yeah.
You just let you know, he's an entrepreneur.
Yes.
He's a madman.
Yes.
But he's also very mindful.
Yeah.
I mean, you know.
The guy has layers.
Yeah. So, you know, for one sentence to the next, you don't know what the subject's going to be.
Yeah.
And that's what you want on a podcast, I guess, every now and again.
I'll be honest, when he took his trousers down within 2 minutes, I thought, we're in for a wild ride here.
I thought, I'm going to see, at some point, I'm probably going to see up this guy's butthole and out of his mouth. Like, he's already pulling his pants down.
Yeah, but that tattoo was insane. It was brilliant.
It's a genuinely good tattoo.
Yeah.
Like,
which we hope isn't now absolutely mottled and falling out.
Yeah. As you're hearing this, listener, hopefully you'll be hearing it. Hopefully we won't have had to pull the entire episode because...
We're not pulling it.
If he dies, we're going to put it out.
What, you think Steve-O wouldn't want this to be released?
That's it. Steve-O says.
Yeah.
He said to us, and I don't know what's going to make the edit and what isn't, but at one point he said that if someone dies, you can mourn how like you feel and you feel bad.
Yeah.
But don't feel sorry for the person.
Yeah.
They're fine.
Yeah.
So Steve-O dies, we're putting this out.
I think more realistically, you can go and see Steve-O's tattoo in a museum because his leg will have to be amputated.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah. So he won't have that leg anymore.
Yeah.
But you'll be able to see the tat somewhere.
Yeah. Go and watch his special. Go and watch all the Jackass stuff, the Wild Boys stuff. Listen to Steve-O's podcast.
Yeah.
What a guy.
Steve-O's Wild Ride, the podcast is called.
Yes. He obviously did not say a line of wasabi.
Yeah.
He did say fizzy Thames water.
He said fizzy Thames water. There was a lot of stuff. You know what? He said a lot of things to the point where we just had to take it that his main course was just sea bass and we don't know anything else about that.
Yeah. We didn't really have time to delve into the more foodie things that we normally do.
Yeah.
So it was just sea bass, pureed potato, Steve-O's hot sauce. Yeah, Steve-O, for your butthole, hot sauce. Check it out on Amazon.
I don't think we need to plug that anymore, do we?
No.
Of all the things in the world that... I think that's fine.
Thank you very much for listening. We will see you again next week. Thank you very much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Hello, it's Rob Orton here. Now, I've got a podcast called the Rob Orton Daily Podcast. It's a short poem or story or a musing on a particular subject every single day. What if you commissioned Picasso to paint your house and he just painted it white? Would you be annoyed? Wouldn't it be good if you could pour Miracle-Gro onto other things, such as pizzas? Have you ever thought about what a beach might be like if it was made from digestive biscuits? Have you ever tried to cry about something you're not thinking about? If you would like to listen to a daily podcast that includes subjects I've mentioned there, then please listen to the Rob Orton Daily Podcast.